The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, random reptoid, or chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us, share your story, share your experience, because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken. Thank you for joining me on this wonderful Monday night. I first want to start off by, first of all, thanking Terry Flick for inviting me out to the Psychic Paranormal Wellness Fair that was over at the Arrowwood Lodge over this past weekend. That was pretty fun. That was really neat. I got the opportunity to speak a couple of times, which, you know, I love to do, and met a lot of people out there. And hopefully some of them are tuning in and listening to what we have to offer. Either way, it was just very nice to meet a bunch of people and hear from them. And you know, one of the things that we always do is we listen to stories. That's one of the things I love about this, where people come up to me and they tell me their stories. They tell me what's going on in their lives with the paranormal. And, you know, they're not looking for help all the time. They're just asked, they just want to talk about it. And I love that. I really do. So thank you to everybody who came out to do that and showed me some pictures. There's one in particular that I just was like, this is pretty cool. I sent it over to my friends over at Myth or Mystery, and we're going to see if we can get that into the program at some point, because it's pretty neat. And I'll be honest, it takes a bit for me to be kind of wowed, but I really did enjoy that. So yeah, it's really good. Tonight we're supposed to have on Michelle Lemke Budke. She is a medium, and we were going to be talking about her her being a psychic medium, and then ended up being like possessed by demons. And I don't know the full story, but she had to cancel tonight, and we're going to move her, I think, to May 1st. She had to reschedule, and that's okay. But then I thought to myself, you know, what we could do tonight, if you all are agreeable, is that I want to talk a little bit about the power of confidence, I think. And I'm going to wrap that in a little present of paranormal, because one of the things that really hit me when I was driving over to Baxter over on Friday, I'm driving up to Baxter, and I have my truck. I have a 2004 SUV that I take out to go traveling and stuff. Even though I have a better car than that, but this is the one I got originally for doing like storm chasing, stuff like that. And I'm driving up, and I'm kind of laughing to myself, and I'm thinking back to the first time I was ever invited to some kind of a paranormal conference of any kind. And there was one in 2014, 15, and it was, I think it was called the Paranormal Affair in Faribault. And that's where I met a lot of people that I know today. It was a lot of different paranormal groups out there, got a lot of people together. And I had been doing this for a while on my own. Like, literally not even realizing that there's other people that do it. I mean, apart from like the shows and stuff. And so I had been going to different places on my own, not the known places, just like, you know, out and about in cemeteries and doing different, my own experiments and stuff like that. And I ended up doing this thing where I have no idea what I'm supposed to be doing. And they invite me out there, and it's a team that put it on called Sim. They're still around. They had me go out there because I was going to take part in a panel. which I never had done before. I had been doing spirit box work, and we've talked about spirit box many a time. And I had been doing spirit box work, and I was going to play some recordings. I never played my recordings for anyone before, and I was really nervous about it because it's like, it's very personal. It's very personal to put this stuff out there. And I'm getting ready to do it in about 2 days before the Paranormal Affair. The person putting it on gives me a call, and he's just like, what are you going to do for your table? And I'm like, a table? What are you talking about? And because they've been doing this stuff for a while, and I had not been doing this ever, there was a disconnect of what I don't know and what they do know. And they're like, yeah, you get a table, and you can put out your banner. I'm like, what banner? And you can put out some paranormal equipment. What, doing what? And then you can also have your flyers. What are flyers? You know, I mean, you know, for your team, it's just me. It's just me doing this. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. So I actually almost pulled out because I'm like, this is too much. I can't even handle this. I don't even know what you're talking about. Why didn't you tell me this before? I would have never done it. Why would I have a table? Why would I want to tell, you know, it's just like, here's what I've done. That's all that's needed. And so it was a learning experience. So I didn't do a table. I mean, I had no idea what to even do. I'm like, what would I do? I don't have banners. I don't want to buy banners. I don't want to do any of this stuff. It was really kind of scary in a way because I never really thought that that's an option. And why it makes me laugh is, you know, you jump forward too many years and here I am. I have like my boxes set up, how I set them up. I have my banner that, you know, it's my fifth banner that I've, you know, printed. I have all this stuff that it's just like, what is this? You know, I don't even know. I mean, it's just so interesting that this is what I've become. And you know, when I set up the table over the weekend, it's literally probably one of the best tables I set up. It looked really good. A lot of people stopped by, and it made me laugh. And when Michelle had canceled over the weekend, I thought to myself, maybe this is an opportunity to talk a little bit about what all this is in terms of how I started in this field. And more so when I started, I guess, more when I became more open to talking about it. And the change between talking about it to promoting yourself, and ultimately I think it comes down to hitting your dreams. And maybe sometimes you don't realize it's your dream. Maybe sometimes when you do stuff that you don't realize that, you know, this is what you're supposed to be doing. For example, it's really interesting that at this fair over the weekend, I had two people come up to me. One, she said to me, do you hear the voices talking to you? And I'm just like, do you? You know, I mean, I'm just like, I'm kind of thinking, is she okay? But she's like, no, you. Do you hear the voices? She's like, I've never seen so many spirits trying to talk to somebody. She's like, they're all around you. Do you know that? I'm like, I don't know that. I know that I tend to be a beacon. A lot of us are, right? A lot of us that come through, we're beacons for spirit because they feel like they can come around us. But the way that she's talking was that these spirits are constantly talking to me. Maybe that's why it's harder for me to actually like sleep or something. I don't know. You know, but I mean, once again, I haven't really tried to open up that side as much as I should. The next day, somebody else came up to me. Now, some of you who remember, more probably so on the Facebook Live side opposed to the radio side of things, someone came up to me and she said, she looks at my table and she's, it's kind of, I don't even know what really to make of it. She's like, this is all fine and good, but the spirits miss talking to you. They miss the way that you communicate with them. And she's like, and I don't mean when you go out on investigations or events. And of course, I knew exactly what she was talking about right away because I used to do weekly live spirit box sessions on Facebook where I would reach out to people's loved ones and we would pull them through. We had a really good success rate with that. And so, and I have to apologize. My voice is pretty scratchy from all the talking I've been doing this past weekend. And that takes a lot for me, to be honest. So I said to her, I kind of know exactly what you mean, because, and I don't know how you can kind of know exactly. I know exactly what you mean, because this is something I've been missing. But how do I do it? You know, how do I do it when I'm, you know, going live and doing a show basically already five nights a week? How do I do any more? So I need to figure this out, because I do agree. I do agree this is something that needs to happen, because it's important. It's important to reach out to spirit. It's a gift. I've been given a gift, and I need to use it. I used to be able to bring just about anybody I want through the spirit box, and help people. And that was the purpose for me doing this. That was the purpose for me to be a paranormal investigator. But I didn't know that at the start, okay? I didn't know that. You know, back in the day, when I went to school, and I went to school after high school, the first time I went to school for radio. I went to school for actually broadcasting, okay? Radio broadcasting. And so I am at Brown Institute, if any of you have ever gone to Brown, and what they teach you there, they teach you a lot of good things. I mean, they don't even exist anymore, but they teach you a lot of good things. If you want to be in radio, they're teaching you to be a DJ, you know, and that's not necessarily something that ultimately I realized I wanted to do. It's a great skill, first of all. To be able to do that is incredible. And we talked a little bit about it with Adam on Casual Friday, but it's a skill that I wanted to do something more like this, which is like, good luck. You have to, there's so much you have to go through to be able to get to a level of just having a show and talking to people and making an interview show back then. Let's put it that way, back then. That was something that I really wanted to do. And then I realized I wanted to be more in TV and production, television production, that sort of thing, because I knew I wasn't gonna be able to get to the radio stuff the way I wanted to. So I ended up, you know, if the 21-year-old Greg knew that the slightly older Greg now is is actually doing a radio show, I think he would like the way he wanted. I think he'd be very happy. If he were to find out I'm doing one about the paranormal, I think he'd be a little puzzled by that, because that wasn't part of the life back in the day. That wasn't what it was about. Nothing of the sort. A lot of my peers, they grew up seeing anomalies and seeing people when they were young. I hadn't. I'm not one of those people. My first encounter with spirit when I was 4 years old. And you're like, well, how young do you need to be? That was the only time, to my knowledge, at least that I acknowledged, because, you know, that's part of our lives, that it's happening to us all the time. We're getting messages and we're mainly ignoring them, right? But so back when I was four, my grandmother had passed away. That'd be my mom's mom. And probably a week or so, I mean, time as a child, whatever. Probably like a week or so, though, or after that, after we buried her, we're in the living room of the house, and this incredibly strong waft of roses, like funeral parlor roses. And you know that smell, right? Very sweet. Honestly, not great, in my opinion. I don't like that smell, because it is overly sweet and almost it's like death to me. But that comes through the room, doesn't spend much time with us at all, probably basically in and out. And I looked at my mom and I said, you know, four-year-old Greg, Mom, what was that? That was Grandma. That's what she said. That was Grandma. I don't know if that's Grandma. I take that as what it is. But the truth of the matter is that it's like, I don't know what else it could be, because there wasn't anything, to my knowledge, that would have led to be anything else. So it's something that I don't really know, apart from that's grandma. In fact, for years, I had wondered if I dreamt this. I wondered if, did that really happen? I was 4 years old. I don't know. Maybe I made a mistake and that was like a dream or something like that. So probably back in 2013 or so, I had asked my mom, I think it was over Easter dinner. I know Dad was still alive, so it would have been before 2015. And I asked Mom, and I told her the story, and I said, did this really happen? And she goes, absolutely, it happened. And she said that that not only did that happen, because she remembered it as well, she also remembers that she would walk downstairs and Grandma would be on the couch laying after she had passed. Like, they'd be like, is that residual? What is that? But she would note that. And when she said that, I remember that as well. And that's really interesting. But from then, for many years, nothing really resonated. And that was very interesting to me. And that's something that I will, you know, always remember, that there's something that we had that one last bit of grandma come through. What I'd like to do, I'd like to take a break here. When we come back, let's go ahead and let's talk about a little bit more of when I got into it. I have some audio recordings from my very first, like, or one of my very first Spirit Box session. There's a lot more to talk about here. If you have any questions, put them in the comments. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And welcome back to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. My name is Greg Bakken. Thank you very much for joining me tonight. Thank you very much for putting up. I feel like I maybe it is just me, but I feel like that my voice is very scratchy tonight. I talked my mouth off this weekend, okay? So just know that. See, and that's why I keep trying to clear my throat. So I apologize for that. That's not great radio, is it? I'll tell you what is great radio. It's the fact that, you know, I think back to my times at Brown, and we talked about this Friday night as well, so I'm sorry to rehash this a little bit. But we talked about our Adam and I when we got into this sort of thing. And once again, the idea that I am doing the full radio show, I am running every aspect of it tonight from my house, is pretty amazing. Okay, I don't care. That will never be old for me. That's pretty amazing, and I just can't believe it. And I know everyone else these days, you know, your podcasts and everything else, you know, you set up and go over the place, and that's the kind of equipment I'm using. I think it's just pretty awesome. Let's go over to some comments here real fast. Stacy says, I miss your Spirit Box sessions. I do hope you find a way to bring them back. And, you know, all it takes is for me to find some time. I have certain areas on the internet that would like me to come and do these. I used to do them 10 p.m. Sunday nights, and maybe there's a way to do them earlier or something. You know, it's just really hard to fit them in, but I feel like I'm doing a disservice to Spirit by not doing it. So I'm hoping to be able to do it again. Let's see here. Carol asked the question, how fascinating about you doing Spirit Box sessions in the past. Would you ever want to offer that again? This is so interesting tonight to learn more about you and your past and your gifts. Thank you for sharing. That's very kind of you. Thank you for saying that. And yeah, I'd love to be able to do it. And you know what? I thought I was pretty good at it. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to own that. You know, people have sought me out all over to actually try to bring through loved ones and stuff. And, you know, here's a question that Arthur asked, I think is a very good question. You mentioned spirits talk to you. If spirits talk to you, why do you need a spirit box? Because everyone has different ways that spirit will talk to you or relay messages. And I do pick up stuff when I'm on investigations mainly. I do pick up energies. I do pick up certain things where sometimes I will hear strong responses, and I think there needs to be more cultivation on my end to make that more prevalent. Why do I want to use the spirit box? Because when I am helping people listen to what their loved ones have to say, generally when they come through the spirit box, that they are using their voice. And I can remember in Houlton, Kansas, we had over at Hotel Josephine. We were doing an event there, and a mother and son, a grown-up son, they asked me, his dad or grandfather. I do apologize. I don't quite remember. And he said, today is the anniversary of his death. Could you bring him through for me, please? Can we try it? And I always say no guarantees because, you know, I'm learning to be more confident about that stuff. Okay, grandfather. Thank you, Ben. And so I said, let's try it. And on break, we went into a back room and we started to do a spirit box session. Please know, I don't know what his grandfather sounds like. But you know what he did and his mom did? And there was a point that a voice came through who I do not know who it is. And a tear just went down her face. And I will never forget that. And we were able to, there's a great thing about receiving messages from loved ones, right? What if you get their voice as well? What if you get their voice? That's exactly what I wanted to be able to do, is to do that. And that's, it really ties in very nicely into why I got into this. Cynthia asked the question, we seem to both be sensitive. I can feel energy, but don't consider myself a medium. I'm having fun learning and using the necrometer. Kyle and I definitely connect with spirit boxing. Always enjoy seeing another layer of Greg. Well, thank you very much for that. And you know, that's exactly where I was too. It's like, I don't consider myself a medium. You know what? I'm owning it. Mediums come in all shape and sizes, not just medium, right? So I can be whatever I want. I think the more that you own something by you believing it, the better it becomes for you. That's the, you know, I think the biggest issue, the biggest hassle, or the biggest obstacle of actually being what those terms mean is actually believing it yourself. You know, I'm going to be playing some audio, either this segment or next segment, from a web series we wanted to do back in 2008 with Spirit Box, the first time I ever used Spirit Box. And the intro for it was, we are a bunch of amateur paranormal investigators, because I couldn't, I didn't want to use that term. I respect that term a great deal. So I didn't want to use that. And I listen to it now, and it's kind of cringeworthy for me, but at the same time, it's also very respectful, because, you know, I see so many people who go on investigations, and there's an energy there that's not dark, but curmudgeoned, and they do something with it, and they call themselves demonologists without doing the due diligence. So you have to be respectful. So Cynthia, I appreciate what you're doing. I think, though, at the same time, if you do want to be that and you want to take that next step, then I think that you do want to start kind of owning that a little bit more. Even if you call yourself, I'm just a, you know, a medium in training, or whatever you want to call yourself. You know, I think the mindset's there. You just got to be careful, right? That it's not like you're, you know, there's so many people that might have got something come through, and then next thing you know, they think they're Teresa Caputo. And I'm not trying to be disparaging per se, but I also, this is what I see. I see it all the time. You know, I mean, there is a show that was called like Ghost Bait. That's what it was, Ghost Bait, where they'd put people in a room and like put a sack over them in a haunted room, and they'd see what would happen to them. One guy was on there. He made one appearance. And he created a fan page for himself because he was like, yep, that's me from Ghost Bait. Dude, you're on one show. You're in one episode. And we couldn't even see it. You had a sack over your head. You know, there's something about, and I don't think it's just this field, but I'm going to say this field, something about this field that people, you know, they do something once, and they consider themselves literally experts. So I appreciate you being careful. That's how I always look at it, and I still do. And I think there's certain areas now that, personally speaking, I think I can move, you know, beyond that a little bit. There's, you know, and I, so Carol asked the question, Do you teach others how to use Spirit Box? My family got me one for Christmas. I've always been interested, but don't want to be wrong or disrespectful to Spirit by doing it wrong. Yes, I can help you with that. Absolutely. Arthur asked the question, what's the due diligence that's needed? Since there's no official training, how does more become an expert? I don't think there are such things as expert. Why would you want to be expert? I think if you're going to be an expert, and this is, you know, this is how I feel, and this is generally how the field feels, that when you're talking paranormal investigating, there are no experts. You don't know what happens life after death. You don't know what happens because you're still alive. You know, you haven't died, thankfully. So you can't really consider yourself an expert. That's the way I feel about it. When I see people use the term expert, it really actually makes me question what they're really into it for, in my opinion. Same with medium. If someone says I'm an expert medium, I think part of my thinking here is, but mediumship comes in so many different ways. An expert would mean that you know how to be a medium in all those areas. If a paranormal investigator calls himself an expert, then that means that you are also aware of how life after death takes place. Exactly. And I don't think it's the same for everybody. So I think that a person could call themselves seasoned, and I call myself a seasoned investigator. I call myself someone who knows how to use the equipment and knows how to kind of, you know, how to run an investigation efficiently, know how to teach people. And, you know, there is no official training. You're absolutely right. But there are courses. We do courses. Shar and I do courses, and we're very proud of them because you don't walk away with a certificate saying, I'm a paranormal investigator. But what you do get is the knowledge of how to conduct yourself in an investigation in a respectful manner, how to use some of the equipment, how to organize your equipment once you're done, how to interact with clients, how to take that energy that you have yourself and how you can bridge that gap between like metaphysical energy and paranormal investigating. What Shar and I do now, we don't paranormal investigate. It's something that's a little bit different because we don't need to collect unless the client wants it. We're not collecting, you know, recordings and stuff. So the due diligence is more of just practicing and also being aware of your surroundings. I think, you know, like I said, so many people, they tend to want to run before they can walk. And just to be able to, you know, just take it in and just experience the investigations, go with people and learn and figure out what the equipment is and not worry about whether or not you're going to be as popular as the other people in this field, because I see that quite a bit as well. Once you are there, then, you know, in that's up to you to decide what it is. But I just see people doing it way too quickly who, you know, just enjoy the experience. Just, you know, and that was something that I'm really happy about, is that I've been able to enjoy the experience. You know, there is a point that I after doing this for a while, I saw something on a TV show. It was this little box that Spirit was talking back to them. And it was a Spirit Box. And that to me was like, this is where I truly believe that and okay, Arthur is asking another question. What do you do during an investigation? Is there a final product, an assessment, analysis? Yes. Okay. And Arthur, I don't know if you are coming from, what kind of place are you coming from? Are you coming from a spot that you are an investigator as well and you're running me through my paces, or are you not investigated before? I'm curious to know your background. Why don't you put that in the comments for me, please? And the thing is I, you know, once I saw a Spirit Box, that was something that was very interesting to me. So I came into the field more from a technical equipment side than a mediumship side or trying to be, you know, spirit side. That was where I wanted to be able to, kind of see. Because if I could actually hear spirit talk, I would be very happy about that. That would make me very, very happy, because that was something that seems impossible. You know, it just seems like that is something that can't really happen. And I wanted to know, can it happen? So what ended up coming down the line here, I worked for an advertising agency. I worked in the broadcast production department. So TV production has something of very big interest for me, obviously. So I wanted to see if we could do a web series of like paranormal, just like the TV shows. But the difference was is that we weren't trying to do it so that we could seek fame. I just like to make stuff. I like to be creative. I like to make like just, you know, like any kind of small, you know, show or anything like that. So we wanted to do it. And there was somebody else at the agency who didn't work in the Minneapolis office all the time. He worked down in Texas. He told me that once he gets back up, why don't we take a night and we'll go down to the basement of the building we worked in. The building went back to 1916. And the basement, it was, you know, a creepy basement. And the thing about that is that if that's what we call, and that's what we call basically, you know, a creepy basement isn't what we call a creepy basement these days. You go downstairs, it's fully lit. You know, that's the first thing. It has heat. It has running water. That's what makes it different from the other places that we investigate. And that is something that I find very, you know, it's once again, one of those growing things. You know, I've been to places that, you know, you want to call creepy. Those are creepy. The basement at the Wyman building, that's not creepy. But nevertheless, I went to that, you know, really high-end paranormal equipment store called Amazon, and we got myself a spirit box. Friend Jeff, he came up. We decided that we were going to do this one night, just going downstairs to the basement, and we're going to do this paranormal investigation. And so there, this is where I realized that this was my calling. You know, and I didn't want to put any grandiose terminology to it, as such as like this is how you know, important it is or anything. But this was my moment of realizing that this was what I needed to do. And I'm just going to say, to back up even a little bit more, the year before I started to investigate different places once again on my own, and I'm putting up my Patreon these things called Audio Investigations. They're podcasts of investigations I had done. Opposed to being on video, they're all done on audio. I've done different places like, one is the Morris Jamel Mansion I've talked about before. There's all these other, you know, these couple other places that I've done. Prior to that, once I realized I wanted to kind of get into this, probably for about 3 months, every night I dreamt about being a paranormal investigator. That how many times, you know, that every night I'd wake up and it wasn't like scary dreams, like, oh my gosh, this is so scary. You know, anything like that. I woke up like, I need to do this. And I'd go to bed the next night, have dreams about it again, wake up, I need to do this. You know, you know, how long does it take to actually finally listen to it? And so it just drove me into it. And so we went, jumping back to Carmichael Lynch, we went downstairs. I don't know if I should have said the name or not, but too late. We went downstairs and we started an investigation. And there's this moment, the first time I turned it on, that I knew that here we go. And this is, you know, this is what it's all about. And I find, you know, it's all so very interesting. And what I want to do is I think I want to go ahead, take another break. When we come back, I want to play some of those recordings from that night. They're not the greatest recordings in the world, but they're important to me. And they kind of guided into what I've become. So let's take a break. We'll talk about it. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And join me tomorrow on Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken. We're going to have Kristen and Heather on. They are the authors of the book, Unlock the Unknown, Keys to the Paranormal. I don't know if Heather is local. I think she might be. I know Kirsten is, and it's going to be a great conversation, and I'd love to talk about their book and talk about their methodology and kind of see what they're doing, and it'll be a great show. Once again, the book is called Unlock the Unknown Keys to the Paranormal. We're going to be doing that tomorrow. We are talking about it's a very special Just Greg episode of Ghost Box Radio, and talking about how I got into it. And once again, the power of just having some confidence and owning what you want to be, whether that means working towards it or whatever else. And going back to the comments here real fast, let's see here. Arthur says, I have 30 years of experience as an intelligence analyst and investigator focusing on missing persons and human trafficking. I want to see if my skills are transferable to paranormal investigations. The short answer is yes. But the long answer is, what kind of paranormal investigation are you hoping to do? Sometimes, that you can apply that stuff to investigations, also working with mediums. Because a lot of mediums take on missing people. A lot of investigations are residential or businesses helping what I call spirit negotiate, to help, find the fine line between spirit and the living as far as sharing the same space. Sometimes we have to try to move on spirit if we can work through that, and generally we can. But there is, of course, there's a lot of use for the skills that you have, and I would definitely look into to learning more about it. I guess the question is and feel free to reach out to me offline or anything that you want. If you want to go further, because I'm sorry, I'm reading more about Arthur, and Arthur's will be the last one, and then if you want anything, just reach out to me. What kind of paranormal investigations? I've asked many paranormal investigators and mediums for help in my own case, but no one has come to my aid. I'm sorry to hear that. I don't know who you've reached out to, there should be people that would want to help, but I don't know your exact case, but, reach out if you'd like. Kyle says, I don't think you understand fully how incredible the things you've done with the SBR. It's incredible, beautiful to watch you connect. I appreciate that. Thank you so very much. I love doing it. I love reaching out to spirit, and I really do need to get back into that and figure out how that works. And people have asked me too. They're like, can we work this into like the radio show one night a week, doing the radio show, doing spirit box work? And it just doesn't, unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. As you will hear on some of these recordings, the spirit box that I use is a lot of white noise, and that's very grating. It's probably grating to people even in the short clips that I'm going to play. But it's grating if you're doing it for a long period of time. And that is not to me, because I'm so used to it. I've done it so long now, and I have, hundreds of hours of recordings, that I can generally look on a waveform when I record it, look on a waveform and be like, I think there's going to be something there being said, or pick it up when it's being said live or whatever else. So there is something, there's always something. And that's what's exciting about it. And it's something that you can kind of grow your skill set with as well. So I wanted to kind of talk about that night in the basement of the Wyman building. And some of these are not easy to hear, okay? First of all, when I said you got to learn, right? You have to learn when when you start at these things. You got to learn. You got to start from somewhere. I started in the basement, literally. And so things I would do today would be, I would have on the spirit box, it's a little radio, and the SB7, which is the mass-produced version. Anyone remember I had Gary Galka on the show back in July, and he is the creator of the SB7. The SB7, the original version, has this tiny little speaker that really isn't that great. And so now when I use the SB7, I will have a speaker attached to it, a much more powerful speaker, so we can all hear what's going on. The other thing I didn't do when I recorded this is, well, maybe I did. I don't know, remember if I had an audio recorder going, but what I got to look back and see, it might have been a lot of what you're hearing is from the video camera itself. And the most hilarious one, the most hilarious mistake that I made, you know, when you watch paranormal shows, you they do it in the dark and they have that IR light. So everything like looks green or like a purplish color or something like that. Well, I had no idea such things existed, even though I worked in production. And so I set up a camera down a dark hallway. Guess what I got? I got black. I got nothing. In fact, I was so worried most of the time that I had to set up that someone was going to show up and actually walk into the camera. Not spirit, but there might have been someone else there that showed up or something. When we did this, there was nobody there. There was nobody there at all. I want to play for you the very first thing that ever came through the spirit box that we got. And, you know, I'm going to lead you, which isn't exactly right, but, you know, we have minutes left, not hours. And so I want to explain what I'm hearing here. You're going to hear us ask a question. You're going to hear a very quiet spirit box response. And then you're going to hear it twice with bumped up as best as I can without degrading it too much. Where are we at for volume here? Why don't we move it up here a little bit? I don't know how this is going to sound, but this is the very first spirit box response I ever got. Have a listen. This is downstairs in the Wyman building.
First name.
Nate?
Nate. Can you please tell us your first name?
Nate?
Nate.
So you can hear that's not, you know, it's not super clear. I mean, I hope the other stuff I played in the past like is much better. But so this was, you know, and it wasn't me that said it. It was Jeff, Nate, and I heard it at the same time. So I thought that was really cool that we were able to hear the same thing that comes through. That was the very first thing we ever picked up, ever. And that's like very sentimental for me. But what we decided to do was we wanted to ask, does Nate have a last name?
What is your last name?
Did you say Lund?
Nate, what is your last name?
Did you say Lund?
Nate, what is your last name?
Did you say Lund?
So you get the point. And that one, that, you know, I stand by that that's Lund. It's not easy to hear for sure. So if going off of what we're hearing, we believe that this person's name is Nate Lund. And the thing is, it's like right away we kind of fall into one of those traps of being like, well, we got to go see if there was a Nate Lund attached to the building or anything. You know how many people there are? I mean, it's... Who even knows of the right? We couldn't find a Nate Lund, you know, and of course, back when we were younger, what we were really looking for was whether or not a Nate Lund died. You know, that's kind of like the first thing I think a lot of paranormal people tend to do when, you know, they're first starting off is like, well, you know, we got this name. Did someone die here? You know, it's just like, no, that's not how it works. That's not how it has to work. You know, it could be Nate Lund. Actually, we thought it was Lund, L-U-N-D. Could be Nate Lung. I mean, that's interesting. I don't see why it couldn't be. I think that's a great suggestion. Now, we asked a lot of questions, and we were like, we asked, can we get your birth? How old are you? And we got a number. I think we asked for your birthday, and we got a number because it didn't quite fit. We asked some other questions. We got the name. I mean, the voice to me sounds the same through all the recordings. But then we asked whether or not anybody else could come through and see if you pick this up.
Is there someone else with you?
Talk.
Nate, is there someone else with you?
So, and I don't think it comes across very well. What we were hearing was hello, a female saying hello. Now, for those of you who do any sort of spirit box work, you know that there's a lot of chatter or a lot of station bits and pieces. We're downstairs. We're not picking up anything. So everything that's coming through seems to be like specific like voices, which I think is always pretty incredible. Down there in the basement, I don't recall this until I was looking at the footage, but my voice is in there as well. We even got a disembodied voice that night, which was really surprising. And we both forgot about it. And then listening to the footage, you hear that we both actually did hear it. Here you go. It's somebody just going, hey, and we're like, what's that? Play it again here real fast. Weird. And to find out that someone had worked there in the basement years ago and heard that same thing. I have video of me showing him that clip, but he's like, that's exactly it. And the background, you can hear white noise. Because there's a lot of white noise, and we're down in the basement, the creepy basement that has like a air and heat and all that. What you're gonna hear, I played this before, but I've never played the full clip of when we were back upstairs. When I made this video, I kind of did like a next time teaser, because it's gonna be a 2-part thing. Never happened. So you're gonna hear a little bit of music in the background, but this is the full version of the clip where I said, my name is Greg, this is Jeff, can you say Greg, can you say Jeff? And to me, this is one of my favorite recordings that, you know, I'm excited because it happened the very first night we ever tried to use any of this equipment.
My name is Greg, can you say Greg? Can you say Jeff? My name is Greg, can you say Greg? Can you say Jeff?
So you get a little music in the background, but that is what that was. And how cool and what a journey. And, you know, as we're coming to the end here, really, I hope one thing that you pick up from this bit of self-indulgence tonight is that we, if you told me even, you know, way back then when I started into this, where I'd be at now, I wouldn't believe it. But I wanted to be able to make some kind of impact in the world of paranormal, but I didn't know what that was. And now I feel like that is becoming more and more obvious. And I'm having people coming up and telling me because, you know, talking about the due diligence, I think this is the due diligence, just working and working and working. And people are coming up to you and being like, you're missed in this area. The spirit wants you to do this. You know, when spirit asks for you to do something, you got to figure out how to do it. But also, people have been coming up to me, and I know Char has said this to me before as well. You know, they're looking for people to, she wants me to do galleries with her. Other people are saying the same thing. They want galleries done. So it's pretty cool. What we're going to be doing tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Kristen and Heather about their book. We have a lot of stuff going on here. Join us all this week. We'll also be talking about reptilians later this week with Scotty Roberts. We have a lot going on. Please keep joining me. So great that you all joined in tonight. Have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow.